Hello everyone and welcome once again to RTM Wrestling episode 76. It's the Braun Strowman show.
Ooh!
Sorry, it tickled me that. We're your 111,764th favourite wrestling podcast on the internet, and each and every week we come together to bring you our thoughts and opinions on whatever it is that we're watching at this particular time. Remember, if you want to join us in the conversation, find us at RTM Wrestling on Twitter and all the other social media accounts that you care about the most. And as always, we post the show onto YouTube, SoundCloud, RTMWrestling.com, and iTunes until SoundCloud goes under.
Oh, please don't go under.
So my name's Andy, and as always, I'm joined by the Pocket Rockets, Emma.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello there.
I suppose the thing is, if SoundCloud goes down, I've got to find another way to get the podcast onto iTunes after all the drama we've been through.
I know.
It's a fucking nightmare. It's a fucking nightmare.
It's one of them.
Yes,
it's
it
one
is.
Of them,
it's
their
one
nightmares.
Of them. One of them.
How are you doing? How are you doing, Em?
I'm really well. It's a dreary old Manchester day.
It is.
Raining, pelting against the window.
It is indeed. We have ventured out today, though.
I'm so glad we did.
Yeah, it was all right. It was all right. Well, I see it again.
Twice in one weekend.
Twice
once
in
on
one
the
weekend.
Older IMAX big screen, and once on letterbox screen at the Lowry.
Yep.
Amazing both times.
It's fucking amazing. I mean, IMAX. I think IMAX was particularly good.
Do you know what? The only drawback I have of the IMAX is whenever there's like a scene of, say, a fight, I can't tell what's going on because the screen's that big.
Right, okay.
So, let's say one of the final showdown type scenes. I couldn't really tell what was going on in certain elements of it on the IMAX. So today, when I saw it on the smaller screen, I was like, oh, okay, I can see now.
Yeah, I know what you mean with that.
Yeah, it's like your eye can't see it fast enough. It's just too much and too big. But what a movie.
Oh, it was amazing.
What a movie.
If anybody's even remotely on the fence for going seeing it, I think, you know, in the UK, the cinemas are $4.99 now, so please.
Oh, go, just go.
You will not.
Brilliant.
Yeah, you will not regret it. It's. I don't think it's scary. I don't think it's scary. Like, I wouldn't say not at all scary. There's jump scares, but
yeah.
I'd say it's hilarious. It had me laughing out loud on many occasions. And Skarsgård is just fantastic.
Amazing.
Absolutely amazing. Any more on it?
Just loved it. I just loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Just to go and see a film twice. We've not done that for... Have we done that since we've been together?
No. We've seen Alpha... We went to see Alpha Papa 3 times.
Did we see that 3 times?
But that's when we had the Cineworld card.
We loved that.
Alpha Papa's particularly good.
Oh my God, it is so good. I'd be up for watching that again.
Got the Blu-ray.
Yeah, we must watch that again. It's a must watch. But yeah, no, loved it. Loved it. Thought it was great. Can't wait for the next instalment, whenever that's going to come out.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Right. Shall we start the show? As we always do, Em. With the news.
News music, please, but I might forget again.
Just in case. Beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep, news music.
That's probably better.
News
less,
music.
Less copyright.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. So the freeform jam that is the news aspect of our show in recent weeks. Cassius Ohno, and I bet you're riveted by this to start with.
Okay.
But challenging for title outside of WWE.
What do you mean, like in the car park?
Bear with me.
Okay.
Insane Championship Wrestling announces NXT star Cassius Ohno will face the ICW World Heavyweight Champion Joe Coffey on September the 19th. In Newcastle, England, WWE has a strong working relationship with ICW, with Noam Dar and Pete Dunne appearing in previous events. Cassius Ohno called the match 2 years in the making. And if the screen didn't just fucking jump down for some stupid reason. And it's basically put elbow or lariat. So it's knockout artist versus the Iron Man. So we've seen this quite a lot recently.
Crossovers.
Yeah, and there was another news story as well that I saw about AJ Styles turning back up at his old indie show with the US title.
Oh, right, okay. Wow.
Not wrestling on it, but just like making an appearance.
Yeah.
I'm very surprised by this.
Why?
Just because... So Cassius Ohno obviously does have... Jesus Christ, this fucking screen. Does have ties to British wrestling. You know, he's been... When he was... nicely done. When he was... we'll keep that quiet. But yeah, so when he was on the indie scene, there was a lot of Progress Wrestling events. He was at ICW, he was at a bit as well. So it kind of makes sense. What doesn't make sense to me is at the Newcastle show. Like, it's just thunder outside.
Ooh,
it's just
storming. Your screen's gone again.
Yeah, I fucked the screen. But the... It seems to be just like a Fight Club taping. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not a pay per view. It's nothing that's. Yeah. You know, it's on the lead up to Fear and Loathing now. We're on the road to Fear and Loathing.
Woohoo!
So I don't understand it.
No, I know what you mean.
I mean, unless if Cassius Ohno is going to be on the whole tour, then you're like, okay, fair enough. Cassius Ohno is on the whole tour. But then you've got to ask yourself, why is Cassius Ohno on an ICW show? When they've got NXT shows to do.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, has that... You know, he was in NXT, then he left for a few years, then he went back to NXT, and now is the... To me, it says that the relationship's not great.
Really?
Yeah, because they've not really done anything with him that recent a memory.
You mean the relationship between Cassius Ohno and WWE?
Yeah.
Okay, I see.
So the NXT thing.
Yeah, they don't do much with him at all. Like, no. They really don't. They really don't. And he's not like... I mean, he's not an old guy, but he's not 21, is he? So
no, he's no spring chicken. Mm. The last thing that I can remember him really doing with him that wasn't just an NXT TV appearance was when he replaced No Way Jose.
Yes.
In Orlando.
Yep.
And really, with that, he came out to a bit of crickets. It wasn't... Yeah. It weren't a huge pop like I think they were thinking was going to happen.
Very true.
So yeah, I'm surprised by it. ICW obviously it's a great coup for them to get him on some of the shows that might, you know, like we've said in previous shows about ICW struggling to sell out when it's just a Fight Club taping.
Yeah.
So maybe this will bump the tickets a little bit because we know Cassius Ohno is a decent in-ring worker. But I just thought it was really strange.
It is a bit of a random one. Yeah, it is very random. I don't know, maybe we'll see more of it. Maybe they're going to loan people out more and more, like they used to back in the old days.
Yeah. I mean, I would love that, especially when you've got guys that aren't working that much.
Mm.
So when you think of, like, the NXT roster just in general, you know, they're not working every night of the week. It's like three tour dates a week they do, as far as I can grasp, from not really looking into it that much. But three tour dates a week. And then once a month they do the tapings.
Yeah.
So it's not really a lot of work that they're getting to do. So maybe this is the reason. Maybe he's like, well, I could go off and do this.
Maybe.
For 3 days of the week and then come back. And I've technically not missed anything.
Yeah.
So maybe more of them will start doing that.
Yeah, maybe it's a WWE, like in what's the word? Instated thing of, you know, giving people a chance to earn more money. That they don't have to put in, you know, the hand in their pockets for.
Yeah.
They're just being a bit more free with them and saying, oh, you can go and do this and you can make more money, so they don't have to put them on, like, mad contracts.
Yeah.
So they can all be on kind of, like, lesser contracts, don't pay them as much, but give them the option, you can go and wrestle here, there and everywhere or in these specific promotions.
Yeah.
But then I just think, well, I don't know whether ICW's paying for that. I highly doubt it.
Well,
I don't know, maybe they are.
Maybe they are. I mean, the thing that I am sort of for, since we've been talking about it, the thing that I'm kind of leaning towards with this thing, and I sort of thought it with Noam Dar as well.
Yeah.
And the fact that the WWE UK Championship was defended on one of their shows is that this whole UK Championship thing has kind of come and gone.
Mm.
And I saw an interview with Triple H on something where they're basically saying that the whole World of Sport fiasco has hindered the UK Championship show from airing, and obviously they're doing the Mae Young Classic at the moment as well. So they've, you know, is there the airtime for it? So to me, this seems like a bit of an olive branch, because I truly believe the UK show was gonna be, this week we're at ICW, this week we're at Progress, this week we're at, because that would have just took out the production costs. And you saw the Norwich show, like they put no effort into it whatsoever.
It wasn't great.
The most expensive thing about that was the CGI, green screen, JR and what's his face, Nigel McGuinness. Like that was literally the most expensive thing on that show.
Yep.
So to me, like I'm not gonna be surprised if they do this more often with Progress and with ICW. Now, interestingly enough, today is Alexander Palace.
Yes.
And I've not seen anything, which is good, and I'm going to try and stay away from it. But obviously, our favourite wrestler, tongue-in-cheek, Zack Sabre Jr., has an open challenge on that show. So I wouldn't be surprised if somebody like Cassius Ohno or something like that doesn't turn up.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, because they don't. They tend not to be doing one without the other. So, like, the Pete Dunne got injured, so that's why it didn't happen. But, you know, ICW gets a WWE UK Championship match instantly after they book a Progress WWE Championship match. So I think you're not going to get one without the other. Whether or not the open challenge will be for a WWE superstar, I've no idea. But that's where I'm leaning towards it.
Yeah. Well, I'll be interested to see if anyone does pop up at Alexandra Palace.
Yeah. Because I think, and this is like very, very loosely based, but I think it's the swan song for British Song Style. Because usually at Alexander Palace, it's the time when people say bye.
Right, okay.
And I wouldn't be surprised if this is it. All three of them are going.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
No.
At all.
I think it's time. Especially for Trent. Do you know what I mean? Get a fucking grip of yourselves, guys. right. News story number two. How has the Mae Young Classic done on the WWE Network?
Because I've seen this news story, I'm going to say pretty well.
It's pretty well indeed. So the top 10 most watched shows on the WWE Network for this week, or the week that's just gone, are following. Number 10, SummerSlam 2012. Number 9, 205 Live from the 9th.
Number 2012?
2017, sorry.
I read it wrong. Fucking hell, that's say that, a bit
that's,
random.
That's a good old SummerSlam for you there.
Fucking hell.
No, SummerSlam 2012, sorry. It's because I saw 205 Live. I was trying to carry on. So 205 Live is 9. And then from 8 to 1 is the Mae Young Classic.
Brilliant.
So it's obviously doing really well for him. Again, there's not really much else to watch on the WWE Network. But surprising for me in that is 205 Live's on it, NXT is not.
That is surprising, yeah.
Because usually it's dominated with NXT episodes. And I'm sure NXT episodes would be in there, but if there wasn't a Mae Young Classic, are you telling me the most watched show
is 205 Live? Gosh.
Like, that would surprise me. So maybe it's just an anomaly, this one. Maybe the Enzo effect is real.
Maybe it is.
That sort of stuff. But the for me, the Mae Young Classic totally deserves it. They've all knocked it out of the park.
Yep.
And I've not watched the most recent, so we know who the finalists are anyway.
Yeah.
But I've not seen the most recent one. And it's this Tuesday, which is the
is that the final?
Which is the finale.
Wow, yeah. Okay.
The live finale, which Sane's got to win for me if she doesn't.
Yeah.
I think they're setting it up completely like they did the UK Championship. You know, you've got a heel who's getting booed, you know, a bit of a bully, bit, you know, bit of a beast.
Yeah.
And then the smaller face takes it.
It's a better story.
I do, but I think with this whole four horsewomen shit, it's going to be tough for him not to give it Shayna Baszler, but fingers crossed they don't. But I've been super impressed with the tournament, and I want to see most of these girls back.
Yeah.
Like, they have to sign, I think, at least 5 or 6 of them.
Agreed.
That aren't absolutely involved in, like, so obviously we know Toni Storm's already signed, which means she's probably losing the belt today.
Yeah.
But they have to put them into NXT, they have to bolster that division. And all these matches that we've watched, like, there's been a few that have been really good, but there's not been one of them that's been dog shit.
Nope.
So they can all go. And we, you know, as much as people like Peyton Royce and Billy Kay and your Liv Morgans and your Aaliyahs, when they have a match, it's pretty noticeable that they're shit.
Yeah. I mean, I think Peyton Royce and Billy Kay can wrestle.
Yeah, they're the best of the bunch, yeah. But it's still not...
But no, I don't think there's pandemonium. There's not, like... They're not hugely, hugely popular. And I think it's because the characters are so stock. It's like bitchy girls. You know, back to that, which is back from the early shows of why does... You know, at the time when we said that, every female character was a bitchy girl. Even the faces. And then, obviously, you know, Bayley became a bit more prominent. You've got people like Asuka. So it has got more interesting. But unfortunately, Peyton Royce, Billy Kay have just been lumped with a really retro character that's just doing nothing for them, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. Like, they really do need to get some of these girls into NXT. And
yeah.
I would personally argue main roster, but they're not going to do that.
No.
But the NXT's women division, if they had 6 or 7 of the Mae Young Classic girls on it, would be fantastic. And I think it makes the main roster look over the shoulder, so that'll instantly raise... Because we've been saying it for weeks that the main roster women are not pulling the weight at all. And as much, you know, we've championed the whole women's revolution thing from the beginning. And the beginning was Charlotte and Sasha and Bayley and Becky Lynch on NXT, not the Bellas. But, like, you know, we've championed it from the beginning. And I am feeling massively let down by it.
Yeah, it's
because,
a shame.
Yeah, because they just don't give a fuck now. And it might not be them. It might just be what they're getting given. And there's an article where Sasha was fucking losing her mind, saying that, you know, she's like, I think you might have said it last week, or you said it to me, about she turns up and doesn't know what the fuck she's doing.
Mm.
And it's like, nothing's planned out in advance, whereas NXT is all planned out months in advance what's going to happen, which is why it's executed so well.
Yeah, it's true. No, it's true. It's very true.
What, is there anybody in the Mae Young thing that stands out to you? Other than that saying? Or?
Yeah, her, I think, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. I can't really pick out, you know, like, ones in particular. I think that the woman who beat the German was actually really good.
Yeah, was that Abby Lee? I can't remember.
Yeah, I liked her. I thought she was really likable. Like, I thought she was great. I like Candice LeRae. I think she's really good. There's loads, because they're all fully formed stars to me. So it's
that's the thing.
There's so little work you have to do with them. And they'd come on, and I really think they'd be so popular straight away, and that's what they need. They need to get a bit of excitement in the women's division in NXT again, because I do think it's dissipated massively, especially now Asuka's moved on.
Yeah, totally. And that's another interesting thing, is like, so the Asuka goodbye NXT isn't on the best of the week.
That's mad.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I know Tessa Blanchard is young as fuck, but she needs to be in there.
Yeah,
for
absolutely.
Tony Storm, as you know, I'm still on the fence with, so I'm not massively. I am into it, but I think there's other people there that are probably better.
Yeah.
But she's got an opportunity to prove me wrong massively, and everybody seems to like her. You know, she's progress champion. She seems to get those opportunities pretty readily, but
and they're all 21, these people.
I know, fucking hell. It's like Apollo Crews all over again.
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy. They're so young. So young.
Definitely.
Makes me sick. Dare they be so young.
Scumbags. And so good as well.
I know,
when
bastards.
Some of the people on the main roster have been doing it, the WWE thing for like the last 5-6 years, and they're no way near the level that these girls are having. Nowhere near the level of matches. Because this is the thing, like, not there's not been one match that's, like, really stood out to me so far from what... So we've watched up to end of quarterfinal, so we've got semi-final still to watch. I think it's the last episode. So obviously they'll pull out big guns in that.
Mm.
But so there's not been a match that's really stood out, but they've all been a better quality than the main roster.
Yep. They really have. I've enjoyed it very much.
Indeed. Well, talking about bolstering the old roster, here's a quick one for you. So, two people have joined the Performance Center recently. One of them's Donovan Dijak, who was on the last Progress show that we watched.
Okay.
And got a really good response. And the other is Leo Rush. And Leo Rush is hopefully not going to go straight to fucking 205 Live, which I've heard as well. But he's like a small guy, high flyer.
Right, okay.
Really, really interesting guy. Those two are the type of people that they need to start signing. Other than that, I don't know if we both watched it or I just watched it, that there's heavy rumours that Ricochet is turning up.
You told me this, yeah, you did say.
Which I would obviously...
He's your favourite.
He's my guy.
He's your man, isn't he?
He's just brilliant. Like the whole like forward flip into row six is just absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. And you've seen his work with Ospreay. I don't think, if he goes there, I don't think Ospreay's going to be far behind.
No, nor do I.
Because you've got to have that on a takeover. Like, that'll just tear the house down. But if Ricochet does go and does decide to, I think his contract is still until the end of Lucha Underground or whatever. The end of Lucha Underground Season 3, which is like in a week or so. I think it was Dave Meltzer, the rotating third RTM chair, that was sort of talking about it and saying it was like early October,
okay,
late September. So that would be.
It would be so good.
That would be.
Would you think they would let him? Do you think they would let them both say if Ospreay and Ricochet did join? Do you think they would let them both wrestle like how we've seen them wrestle at that speed and at that? Because I think that they'd make them rein it in, and I think that's a big reason why they're not there already. Because I just think that. It'd all get slowed down. And maybe that's fine. Maybe they wouldn't mind it getting slowed down because they're like, well, fair enough. You know, if the audience are happy with me being a bit more collected and calm in everything, it doesn't have to be so frenetic and so fast and so crazy.
Yeah.
But then does it take the magic away a little bit? You know, if you do see Ricochet, but it's phoned in. And if you see Ospreay and it's phoned in a bit. Because it does for me, because you know the potential of what they can offer. But it's like, are WWE ever going to let them do that? Because it makes other people... It just makes everyone else look shit and slow.
Well, that's what I'm hoping.
I just don't think they'll let them do it.
No, I don't think they'll let them do it. But here's what I think will happen. So NXT is obviously a different beast to the main roster. So NXT, they are allowed to go a little bit.
Yeah.
So obviously the Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne match was more their style. Mm-hmm. I think what they'll do is they'll go into the Performance Center, Triple H and the coaches and all those sort of stuff will teach them WWE style, and then they'll adapt that match to it.
Yeah.
So it'll probably slow down, but some of the big spots will still be there. Mm. I doubt very much that the flip, you know, the springboard and then the backflip and then they both land in the same position. I don't think that survives. But everything else,
I hope so.
I think pretty much does, because all the moves are like expertly pulled off. I think it's only those things of the constant reversals and things like that which they'll probably rein them in on. But why not? That's what's got them to the dance. Then just let them do that again.
Yeah,
for me, let them do it again. Any more on the Mae Youngs or anybody coming up?
Nope.
So next, one thing we've not talked about yet, which we probably should have done before now, is Raw is going live on Christmas Day and New Year's Day.
Unbelievable. I just think that this is awful. It's so mean. They've never done that before. It's always been we've always known that Raw around Christmas time, on Christmas week and SmackDown always like was, but like, we've always known it's pre-recorded, like, and that's fine. No one cares. Like, and it's a thing, you know, your last Raw before Christmas. You know, it's the week before your last live one.
Yeah.
So why the fuck they have to do a live show on Christmas Day and New Year's Day is just beyond me.
Yeah. See, New Year's Day to me isn't as bad as Christmas Day.
No.
But you still you think they would give them... We say that, the next part of the story is everybody's favourite mouthy wife, Beth Hardy.
Oh God.
Is it Jeff? Oh, it's Jeff's wife. So this is Jeff's wife. Fucking hell, she's getting on the bandwagon. Got Rebby and Beth fucking losing her shit. So she basically took to Twitter and say, "Christmas Day, really, really." Some are sensitive to my public complaining, so let me not publicly complain about our Christmas Day without Jeff. And then she goes on to say, about my last tweet, apparently it's a network decision, not WWE's, but still. So to me, this seems ridiculous. Like, why would the network, why would the USA Network make them do a live show on Christmas Day and New Year's Day? Because they're still getting exactly the same content. If it was pre-recorded, and to me, Christmas Day, I think they're going to struggle to fill the arena. I know you don't, when we talked about it, you didn't agree.
No.
But I wouldn't, say if Raw was in Manchester on Christmas Day, and I know Raw's coming up to Manchester, and as it stands at this moment, we're not going because, you know, it's too much money for not enough action.
It's true.
Yeah, going just to see who's in the dark match. But like, if I had the money and we weren't really doing much on Christmas Day, we wouldn't be able to get into town for one.
No, we'd have to walk.
We'd have to walk or get like a taxi.
Yep.
And the taxi would be like fucking 100 quid. But I don't know how. I'm sure the atmosphere will be quite cool because we've watched like NBA games that are on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
But they're always on at like 2 o'clock, so families can go have fun at the basketball, then come home and eat.
Yeah,
and that's it. You know, you're not telling me that they're going to start Raw at like 2. Like,
no, it'll just be on the normal time, won't it?
So like everybody, literally, like if a British Christmas is to go off by 7:45, everyone's going to be fucking hammered and asleep.
Yeah.
So people, I don't think they'll get a decent turnout for it.
I think it's just a shame. I just think it's a damn shame that they have to do that on Christmas Day. I just think it's shit. For, like, everyone. So, like, the arena's got to be open. You know, they've got to have... It's just everybody's working.
Yeah.
And what's the audience figures, like, on TV going to be like? Because I'm not even sure that that's going to be that high. I think people will go to the show. Have they said where it's going to be?
No, but we could probably look at, like, the ticket schedule and...
Because I'd be interested to see where... Because you've got to be pretty confident that you go into a place that's going to sell. It's got to be a place that sells out all the time for them to even think they're going to get near selling out.
Yeah. Well, again, though, if it's a network decision, like, what have they got?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean? Like, how much sway have they got to say, no, our wrestlers are not... Because you think, like, you know, Vince and Steph and... Triple H have got to be there as well, and all the creative team have got to be there, and the guys setting up the ring have got to be there. So it's not just a wrestler thing. You know, you're taking about 500 people away from their families on Christmas Day.
I know, it's crap.
Just because the network wants a live...
And you only get one day off in America for Christmas, don't you? Because there's no Boxing Day.
Yeah.
So it's not like there's a second day off. I mean, they might get the day after off anyway, but... I don't know. I mean, they might just be going straight to a live show. Fucking hell, who knows?
Maybe.
So shit.
Oh, God, that's... To me, it's so grim. I think the USA Network really need to look at themselves. And they must have a reason behind it. And obviously the reason behind it is going to be cash. That is always the reason behind any of these sort of decisions. But they are getting the same product. It'll literally be exactly the same show as if they let them tape it beforehand.
It's
fucking stupid to me. Like, I just don't get why they would do that.
No.
Because I wouldn't be happy if I was the wrestlers. You know, because if they got 5 days off, they can all fly home, be with their families. Some of them have got kids. All that shit.
I know, it's rubbish. I don't like that.
No. No. Speaking of something else I don't like. Next up on the news. A bit more insight into backstage details of why JBL's decided to fuck off. So you actually said this, I think, last week. So Sports Illustrated, so a guy called Justin Barissimo.
Barissimo!
Has said that the JBL basically resigning has been planned out for a while, which is exactly what you said.
It is.
So he basically says that the only difference between what we think and what this guy's saying is even before the bullying accusations turned up
right.
with Mario, or Maro, so it might have even started 11 months ago because his contract was due to expire at the end of October. I don't think that that's true. I think it was planned out in advance, but this has been the catalyst.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's gotten so much shit, and there was so much fire JBL hashtags, which, again, I don't agree with, because we don't actually know what went on. But I don't believe that this was planned out before this.
Nah.
Because he was doing, to me, he was doing all his charity work anyway.
Yeah, it's a massive excuse. I think it's probably just final nail in the coffin for him, the Maro stuff.
Yeah.
I think he's probably a bit of a pain in the arse for a while.
Yeah, I can see him being. I can see him being a pain in the arse. To me though, it doesn't... I don't think that he'll be missed, like, at all. So now we've got Corey Graves on both shows.
Mm.
Like, you're going to miss JBL? Really?
Nope. No way. I've been wanting him to kind of vacate for a while because I just don't think he adds anything anymore. I just don't. I think you need, you know, if you got in, I think you need to refresh the commentary team fairly often. Like, not often, not like all, like every year, but I think it needs a bit of a shake up. You know, the whole roster gets a shake up, so why does the commentary team get off scot-free?
Yeah.
So I'm all for it. I think they should move people around, and it hasn't been working for me for a while with JBL. He's not the worst person in the world, but, you know, he's certainly, I think it's just time for someone else to either get in there or for him to just go for a bit and maybe come back and do the odd thing.
Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of what JBL said, didn't he, in his tweet. He's basically saying that... what's his face? Oh, God. That he's basically going to be working with WWE in some capacity. Which, you know, he's going to turn up every now and again for his little legend spots. But a good riddance to me. Not that I've got any ill will against the guy, because I don't know what happened with Raul Leonardo. He's mental. So he could... I know he's not said anything, but he could have said something backstage and that could have been taken all out of proportion. So it's one of them.
It's one of them.
It's one of them. So next up, what have we got?
What have we got?
JBL thing. Rumour mill.
Oh, Christ. I've just seen the headline.
Rumour mill. Apparently, WWE are trying to bring back CM Punk.
I'm not surprised. Because this story's going to keep coming up until he comes back. So it's a bit like, you know, the whole, like, stop clocks right twice a day.
Yeah,
so they just need to keep regurgitating this story every few weeks. And they'll be right at some point. He'll come back.
Yeah, I think he'll turn up at some point. So this article basically says that Colt Cabana has apparently been telling people that WWE is trying to force peace talks in the whole legal situation that they've got going on.
Mm-hmm.
The defendants are being asked to pay $200,000 in order to get some discovery investigation going, whatever that is. CM Punk and his team want to see if there's any internal correspondence in WWE about his injury. So do you remember them saying that it was fake? So with those kind of things, because they're never going to release that information, the lawsuit probably won't be settled. Now, I've also seen a contradicting story saying that CM Punk is reportedly going to have another UFC fight before the end of the year.
Right.
And he's currently in a training camp.
Bloody hell.
For it to, like, be announced. So I think he's going to be on the December card, the December UFC card that is going to try and break all records of pay-per-view.
Yeah. When was his fight?
UFC 203.
When was that?
Oh, yonks ago.
Was it this year?
No, it was. I think it was the back end of last year.
Right, okay.
So he's probably due another one. I'd be surprised if UFC give him another one. And I don't want to see it. I don't want to see him getting Mickey mauled again. You know, so only because I don't give two fucks about it. Which then leads me on to the reason why I right-clicked it. Do you want to see CM Punk back in the WWE?
Are you talking to me?
I am.
Okay.
I am talking to you.
I didn't know if you were just throwing it out there for our listeners.
Oh, they can tweet us as well. I do want to see... Yeah, definitely tweet us and tell us what you think. Do you want to see him back?
I'm a big CM Punk fan. You know, I really am. I thought he was great. They don't need him, though.
No.
They really don't. They've got enough. They've got enough people on the show. We've said that. You know, we did our fucking dream fantasy sacking last week. You know, we're firing people left, right and centre. So bringing old hands back is even less necessary than it's ever been. So I think someone would have to really forfeit for him to come back.
Yeah.
And I don't, unless it's one of the people I mentioned last week. But I just think that I just don't think there's any room for him anymore.
No, it's a weird thing to say, because obviously at the time, like, we were pretty adamant that we didn't want him to leave and didn't want him to, you know, and the whole legal battle that they had, it was like, oh, Jesus Christ, here we go. But I honestly, at this point, with all the bitching and the moaning that he's done, and obviously the fight aside, he had the balls to get in there and have an actual UFC fight, which is absolutely commendable. Like, I tip my hat to the guy. But now's the time to stop talking shit. Like, he's constant, every interview, and these rag sheets obviously fucking will accentuate the WWE news because they're a wrestling rag sheet. But every interview he does is just bitching and moaning, and WWE did this and WWE did that. It's like, WWE made you a multi-millionaire, dude. Like, as badly as you were treated by him, and I'm not saying that it's right to treat staff bad, and if that was the case, let's just assume that was true.
Yeah.
That all the stuff that he said about him and how heinous they are is 100% true. The reason why he's a multi-millionaire is because of WWE, and he's got a lot of money. Like, he's not got pocket change. The guy's got a fucking gym in his basement, you know, kitted out with saunas and all sorts of shit. Swimming pool, like on that UFC embedded show when he was on that. And his house is huge. Everything that he's got in life, he's got from the WWE. So the fact that he's so heinous towards him, to me, it just screams petty child.
I think, though, that is just a thing that happens. I think that there's been so many people who have left WWE under horrendous terms and have fallen out with everybody. And and like we've said many times in the past, it's only because of social media that we get to hear what they say now.
Yeah.
If social media would have been around when, you know, Stone Cold left, we would have heard him say all sorts about Vince. You know, he might never have been invited back, some of the poison he had for him. Yeah. Same with Kurt Angle, you know, like... But we'd never heard it, really, unless they did an interview and it was in a magazine, a printed magazine. And now I think we've seen the social media age, somebody leaving on bad terms. And it's hard, I think, for fans to see him ever going back and finding reconciliation. And it's made it easier for the fans to disengage with him.
Yeah.
Whereas they never disengaged with Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They just didn't, because it was like, why don't you just come back? He needs to go back.
Yeah.
And, you know, they need to just make up and get on with it and all this shit. And I think everybody who's left, who was a megastar, has had really horrendous things to say about the WWE. And they probably have, you know, I'm sure the Ultimate Warrior had some fucking really bad shit to say, because Hulk Hogan has had some really bad shit to say. You know, it's just the way it's gone. And Punk's just another one that's but he's been in an age where we've heard it all.
Yeah.
And it's not helped his case with people, I don't think. I think people now, they're still diehard fans of his, but I think that there are people who will, like, wash their hands of him.
Yeah. So I totally...
It's just the age. It's just... And everything all... It'll all iron itself out. There'll be a 24 episode of him coming back and talking about what happened, and
yeah,
him and Vince will hug it out and all that shit, and him and Triple H will hug it out. It'll happen. It always does. It always irons itself out. I think people hit in that, and I completely understand in that company hitting a breaking point because they're tired, they're hurting. I'm not saying they have a bad life. You know, if you're someone like Punk or Cena or whatever, you're getting paid shitloads of money. But how quickly do you get used to money? And it becomes the norm. And then the little things that start to bug you about a place become big things. And if you fall out with your employer, you know, it's the biggest thing in the world. And then you get 6 months down the line and go, don't really feel that. I don't really care about him anymore that much.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, my knee-jerk reaction to that is he's a grown man and social media is a thing. And he does these interviews where he's really heinous and it's like, come on, mate, just get a grip and get over it. Like, to me, it's tough because WWE have done so much for him. It doesn't matter how badly you treat somebody. Like, if my job paid me £5 million, let's say, they just give me in a lump sum, tax-free, £5 million, and then started treating me a bit shit and not appreciating me, I could leave. I could just leave without £5 million. And that's absolutely fine. I wouldn't then start ragging him like at every available opportunity, because his life he owes to WWE.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit as well, from what I've seen of him, you know, he's a bit I can't really word it without sounding offensive. I think he's a bit socially off.
Yeah.
So if you compare him with someone who's very corporate like Cena, you know, Cena doesn't wear his heart on his sleeve at all. He just doesn't. He's a closed book. You don't know what's going on behind his eyes. He's a bit of a corporate robot. Whereas CM Punk is a bit like that person you went to school with who overshared everything. Do you know what I mean? He's not afraid to sit there and go, well, my mother was an alcoholic and I lived in an abusive family. Do you know what I mean? It's like, whoa, it's all out there. There's no secrets there. Do you know what I mean? I think he's a bit dweeby in that respect.
Yeah.
And he's a bit of a dweeby oversharer. And I think when he's asked something, he can't help himself but to talk. And we all know those people. We know those people who are closed books, and we know those people who are fucking far too open about everything. And I think he falls in that category of... And even when he did the UFC stuff, you know, he was mega dweeby with it. You know, he was really dweeby. And that's cool, that's fine, but then that dweeby person's always gonna talk because they don't know how to control their own flapping mouth. Do you know what I mean? He can. I really don't. I think he's a massive oversharer and a bit of an inappropriate one at times as well.
Yeah.
Just a bit. He's an intense guy.
Yeah.
He's really intense. He's not afraid to tell you about all his woes and his fucking hard life. And and again, that will filter throughout his life. So he's not afraid to turn around and say, well, you know, they did this and I didn't like this. You know, instead of being a bit more corporate and a bit more cool-headed about it, you know, he's very much living in that particular moment that he's in. He's not thinking about the future. He's never contemplating going back at the points where he said these things. He's thought that's done forever. And it's only when the money starts dwindling and going down and nothing's getting added to it, it's like, shit. How am I ever going to earn money again? Oh, WWE, I'll make some friends.
Yeah, because I think if he went to WWE and said, right, let's drop all this legal shit and let's just get back on the train, I think they'd have him back with open arms because he is such a big star.
Yeah.
But, you know, he could do so much more. If he was thinking about wrestling again, he could do so much more outside of the WWE as far as, like, having creative control of things and all that jazz. But if he does go back to WWE, it's a money thing. It's not he's passionate about wrestling and he wants to carry on and do all this stuff. I mean, he probably never will. He probably never will go back to WWE. I would be surprised if he did, but because of all the heinous shit that he said. But I don't know. I'm just not fussed. If he comes back and does some cool shit, fair enough. But like, he is not the when I think of like a dream WrestleMania card, CM Punk's name probably wouldn't be on the Dream WrestleMania card. Like, at this moment, there's so many other people, like, outside of WWE that I want to see there. Like, your Kenny Omegas. Like, imagine Kenny Omega versus Okada at WrestleMania. Tear the fucking house down. I want to see Cody Rhodes back. I want to see Marty Scurll in there. I want to see Ricochet in there. I want to see Ospreay in there. You know, I want to see Travis Banks in there. The fucking UK guys.
Yeah.
Like, they're the people that I'm more... That I'm kind of like... That they're like... Not my guys, because that's a ridiculous thing to say, but I think the boat has sailed on CM Punk having this real gracious return. And if his music hit, the place would pop out of the shoes. 100% pop out of the shoes. But I don't know, I'm kind of over it. I'm over his whinging and whining.
Mm.
Like, I understand all the arguments that you make, like, for him are valid. But I'm at a point where I'm like, but he's in this situation. Like, if he was there 10, 15 years ago and this was happening, yeah, we wouldn't hear a lot about it. But he knows everything that he says is going to get...
Yeah.
Is going to get raked through the coals. So... Just fucking have a bit of class.
Mm.
That's what it is. Just have a bit of class. Because he was my favourite wrestler. Like, the whole thing, like, when me and you started going out and we got into watching it again together, I was like, this CM Punk guy, you've got to see this guy, he's great.
Yeah.
And it is heartbreaking to a little bit, because you've seen, like, one of your favourite wrestlers just fucking... Not lose it to the point of where he's getting arrested or anything like that, but lose his shit a little bit and get a bit too big for his boots and then shout at fans and, you know, and whether or not the fans rude or not, it doesn't matter. The Rock's never fucking shout. You think The Rock doesn't get, like, really rude people asking for a photo? Of course he does.
Yeah.
Of course he does. He's the fucking Rock. Like, he'd be taking a piss and somebody would be trying to take a selfie of his Johnson. Hey,
nice,
so
nice.
People strudel. But the, you know, but you never hear anything about The Rock being like shit to fans. And you don't need to. Like, Randy Orton is shit to fans all the time. It's like, hang on. I know the rude as fuck. I know some. And we were saying when we were coming back from watching it again how much, like, how horrible people are, especially to people in, like, retail situations, and, like, how horrible the general public can be. But that's not an excuse to be that heinous.
No,
like,
you're
a superstar. You're getting paid millions for this. Take it on the chin or just walk away. Like, don't give somebody shit. Just you know, this person who's, like, trying to ask for a picture with you at probably 4 a.m. in an airport is such a huge fan that they don't realise that is not a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
To stick your phone in somebody's face when it's that early in the morning and to be that rude about it. So, what I'm sort of dancing around is I'm not arsed.
Yeah.
But I'd be intrigued if it happened, but he's not the first name that comes on.
No.
To mind. Speaking of not the first name that comes to mind, next story, it looks like Ronda Rousey is going to do something with WWE. So they had their little promo of the four horsewomen versus the three horsewomen, because Sasha was, for some reason, wasn't there. The Mae Young Classic is just gearing up for Shayna Baszler to win.
Yeah.
And then it's a fatal, you know, an eight woman match at WrestleMania, which is probably what's going to happen. How asked are you about Ronda Rousey?
I'm not.
These days?
No, I'm not. I'm really not. No. Don't really care. I think she had a boat that sailed off a long time ago.
yeah.
When she appeared at WrestleMania 32?
Yeah, 32.
So that was a good time to maybe do a little...
Yeah, and that was great because the crowd went crazy.
It was. And I think the crowd will still go mad because I think they'll hype this up, and I do think people do really still care about her. I just think that the angle of the match, the four horsewomen versus the four horsewomen, which is obviously what they're doing, is a bit lame. I'm just not sure. And I don't know how they're going to work it because you've got people on different brands here.
Yeah.
So it's like, what you're going to do is Rousey going to just straddle both brands and challenge him, or are the four going to come together on one show?
Yeah.
Like, how are they going to work this? Are they all just going to get shifted onto Raw or SmackDown together for the sake of this?
Yeah.
and then they'll move people like Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss and stuff onto another show just for a short period of time. Yeah. I don't really understand how it's going to work, but this is obviously what they're doing.
Yeah.
I think it's more likely that Rousey will show up on both of them and have matches with... You know,
do you think it goes that far? Do you think she'll be like a signed wrestler?
I don't know.
See, because the way I see it happening is it's just going to be announced like the month before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey will be doing like a guest spot on Raw, and like, and the Four Horsewomen will turn up, and it doesn't matter what brand they're on.
Yeah.
And they'll promote it on Raw and SmackDown. So say it's as it is now. Charlotte and Becky will then go back to SmackDown. Excuse me. And promote it with promos and with matches and things like that. And then the only time you ever see the match is at WrestleMania.
Quite possibly then. Yeah.
Because I think if they signed her and she was actually having matches, then that would be interesting. But I don't think it's going to go that far. I think the first and only time you're going to see Ronda Rousey in a WWE ring is at WrestleMania this year.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And whether it is a match or it's just... The Four Horsewomen have a tag match and they win it, and then they say, no four women can beat us, and then Ronda Rousey and a... the thing is we've kind of got a vested interest in the Four Horsewomen WWE-wise, because we know all four of them. Now, the Four Horsewomen MMA are now, all four of them, consisted of back-to-back losers. Because, like, Shayna Baszler did not have a good UFC run. The other one, Jesse Duke, didn't... I could be wrong, but didn't win a UFC fight. And then the fourth one, I don't even recognise. I don't even think it's the same person. Jesus. I think they've... That person's probably gone, nah, I don't fancy that. And they've literally just brought in somebody else to do it. So Shayna Baszler is obviously an accomplished indie wrestler. And she's got to where she is on talent, but also because of this Ronda Rousey thing. Because we've seen a couple of her matches, she's not shit.
No.
Like, it's not solely based on the Ronda Rousey thing, but that's too good of an opportunity for them to make money. But I couldn't care less about this. But it will be that moment at WrestleMania that gets in ESPN, that gets in all the rag sheets, that is on the front cover of Ronda Rousey's now in WWE? It already is. Like,
yeah, it's too huge. It's too much of a big opportunity. And even though, and this is just me being overly observant to the point where I'm probably completely wrong, but like, the Four Horsewomen WWE aren't having the greatest run at the moment, arguably.
Yeah.
And yet they all look pleased as punch. Like, they know this is coming, so they're not that bothered. Yeah. They all look kind of quite pleased with themselves. And you could say Bayley is having the fucking worst run of her life, probably in any wrestling promotion she's ever wrestled in. It's just not gone very well for her at all, but... And I know they have to look quite happy, but they look really quite comfortable, those women. They don't look worried, because they know this is on the cards. They know that this is a big deal. And it's always going to be the Four Horsewomen against the Four Horsewomen. It's not going to be Ronda Rousey versus Alexa Bliss.
No.
In a million years. It's not going to be Ronda Rousey versus Nia Jax. Looking fast forward and it's Ronda Rousey versus Nia Jax. But, like, it's highly unlikely. It's always going to be the Four against the Four.
Yeah.
So... They're set. They're sorted. WrestleMania, they know they're on the main card. They're on the main show. They've got a decent slot. Sorted. They don't have to worry for another fucking 2 years, 18 months or something. Then they can start thinking, shit, what next?
Yeah, yeah.
But now they're sorted. And I think that's kind of a bit meh. Because they're not going to make an effort, I think, with the women now.
No.
Because they know they've got this in the bag.
Yeah, because this is going to be your women's WrestleMania match. Like, I think the women's titles will be represented. I think Alexa Bliss will have one. You know, somebody else will have the other.
Mm.
But and they will probably have matches, if not on the kickoff, on the main card, because they've got so many slots to fill. But so that's the one hand of it. The other hand of it is, okay. So if that's what a part of me says, okay. So if that's what they're planning, then fair enough. Like, I'm kind of on board with it to some degree, because it isn't the Bellas.
Mm.
Because the most heinous thing, because when you said, like, oh, it's not going to be Alexa Bliss that faces Ronda Rousey, my brain instantly went to Becky Lynch gets injured, quotations, and out comes Alexa Bliss to join the roster, to join the ranks. Like, that is something that I can see him doing. Something I can also see him doing is having Nikki Bella in there to some degree, because if she does well on this Dancing with the Stars, there's no way she's not going to have a massive WrestleMania moment, because she will be a celebrity.
It's very true, and she has come out this week and said that she really wants to face Ronda Rousey in WWE. So, I mean, it depends if they do the Cena-Nikki wedding.
Imagine if it was the Cena-Nikki wedding, and just before they say I do, Ronda Rousey like interrupts. Now that I can get on board with.
That would be so funny. That would be so Ronda's, like, funny.
Showing a video where she's driving a car and Cena's passed out.
I'd love that.
And Triple H is just like clapping behind
brilliant.
Her.
Absolutely brilliant. But yeah, I just, God knows. God knows. I mean, the thing is, when you start throwing Nikki Bella into the thing, the Four Horsewomen versus the Four Horsewomen seems like the greatest idea ever.
It does.
Because it's a bit like, I don't want a Nikki Bella WrestleMania moment again either. No. Nor a Brie Bella coming back. I mean, I think there's a Bella twin thing that's going to happen. But yeah. I can see that happening on something like, you know, your Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax, then the Bellas turn up. I don't see them getting involved in this.
No.
At all. And I don't think it would be fair if they took one out and replaced it with someone else. I really don't think that those, not that they have that much of a say, but I think that they would kick off big time if they decided to take your lesser popular one out, or take Bayley out even, because if you think about Bayley's one at the moment most likely to get pulled out of it.
Yeah.
I think that they would really, really, really attest, like, just completely go mad against that.
I think they would as well. Here's a question for you then.
Okay.
To try and get as much legs out of this as we physically can. On the basis of it, if Ronda Rousey, and you're talking business now.
Okay.
We're talking business, right?
Business.
We're talking practice. No, we're not talking practice. Any basketball fans out there? But the okay, purely on a business point of view, if Vince comes to you...
Who am I? I need it. I want a role.
Emma.
What's my role?
Your role is Triple H's conscience.
Okay, I can do that.
Maybe not Triple H's conscience, because then that might...
PA?
No, not PA, because you need a bit of guitar. Okay, so you are with Triple H.
Okay.
Talent relations.
Yes.
So executive talent relations, whatever role that Triple H has got, you've got that role as well. You're sharing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Vince comes over to you and sits you and Hunter down.
Yeah.
And says, listen, guys, right? Hunter is the wrestler. You're the business person.
Okay. I'm liking this.
Yeah, I'm liking it.
I'm liking it very much.
I'm liking it because I could do fuck all.
This is absolutely brilliant.
Now, Vince turns to you and says,
okay,
Ronda Rousey has said she will have a match at WrestleMania.
Great, Vince. So I'm in character.
Have I got to be in character as well?
Yes, please. That'd help.
Listen. Ronda Rousey is going to be a fucking WrestleMania. Michael Hayes, where is he? No, he's not here. And I'm going to break character now because this is a serious question.
Okay, go on.
Have the Four Horsewomen done anything to deserve that?
Okay.
Now we're thinking. I'm gonna lay out a few options here. So I'm thinking purely business terms. If you're on that WWE board and Vince comes to you and say Ronda Rousey's gonna have a match at WrestleMania, we've got this Four Horsewomen thing. Should we go with that? Or should we have, if Nikki Bella gets superstardom from this Dancing with the Stars, which potentially could happen, if Alexa Bliss, who's selling all the fucking merchandise under the sun, who deserves, and a serious question, who deserves the Ronda Rousey match?
I would still go with the Four Horsewomen,
right,
for the simple reason that this match isn't about them. It's about Ronda Rousey. They're secondary in it.
Yeah.
It's just a marketing thing of four versus four. But the WWE stars are so secondary. It's all eyes on Rousey and what she gonna do.
Yeah.
It's not even a, they might try, it's not even a UFC versus WWE thing. I think if they're having discussions about it, the discussions are about Ronda. I don't think they're anything about those four. I don't think it's a case of, well, if this happens, we'll make them four come out really stronger than...
No.
Once it's over, it's over. Like, yeah, they're back to doing whatever. I think they'll be thinking it's a way of using those four women. It gets everyone excited about women's matches, and they'll still have your Alexa Bliss, your Nikki Bella's doing something else.
Yeah.
But that's me. So that would be if that was my role.
See, that's why I was saying, like...
Yeah, but I understand if they sit and question it and go, okay. But I think it's just a ready-made story that they don't have to try at. And I think they kind of would have to try a bit. And there is just something a bit mismatching about Alexa Bliss or... Even Nia Jax, it's almost a bit like they're too cartoony and pretend.
Yeah.
And the four horsewomen have got a real story and they're versus four real women. So it's a bit like, it's like a real fight. Whereas I think anything else is a bit too, you know, what's Alexa Bliss going to turn around and say to Rousey?
Yeah, yeah.
Is she going to do a little spoiled brat character? It's just going to fall flat to me, that. Because Rousey's going to play herself. And they're going to play themselves. And it'll be a story of like, well, no, we're the original four horsewomen. It's just too easy. Whereas I think anything else is going to be so bad and so badly done that... And Nikki Bella versus Ronda Rousey, you know, it's so OTT and over the top that Rousey just can't...
She can't do anything but, like, crush them.
Yeah, she couldn't... Yeah. She's not going to have a fucking back and forth with someone like Nikki Bella, is she? It's just not going to work. It's going to be cringy as shit. Whereas I think they can safely, because if Rousey gets stuck promo-wise, the comeback line is always, we're the originals and you guys are just pretenders. You took that name from us.
Yeah.
It's just dead easy. It's a dead easy argument for them both to have, and it to just be a proper rivalry of who's the most worthy four horsewomen. I just can't see a legit... thing with anybody else. I just really 100%, can't.
100% agree with you. The only reason why I throw that in is because if you're WWE and you're looking at it from purely a marketing standpoint, so not the finished product, because if like you said, you know, if all they're doing is thinking about Ronda, if they're looking at it from a purely marketing standpoint, then I don't think the four horsewomen WWE four horsewomen come into the question. Like, if they're looking at it from, right, how much money can we make from this match? Yeah, Ronda Rousey on the card is going to be on the front cover of ESPN, of any of these fucking things. So that's fair enough. Alexa Bliss is the one that makes the least sense to me. But she is the one that's hot at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So she's selling all the t-shirts. You know, she's in every women's angle, depending on what show she's on, it doesn't matter. She is the one that they want to fly the flag on. At the moment, so that doesn't make sense, which leaves you with Nikki Bella. Now Nikki Bella, as much as I cannot stand the girl, it makes so much commercial sense. Let's say that she wins Dancing with the Stars, which is a publicly voted for show.
Yeah,
let's say she wins the fucking thing. Mm-hmm. Right, which I don't think is going to happen, because in a wrestling ring she's got less coordination than John Cena has. So, I don't think that'll happen. But let's say she does. Let's say Nikki Bella wins Dancing with the Stars. That is a completely different ball game for pure celebrity. It's Nikki Bella, winner... So that's the thing. It wouldn't be Nikki Bella, WWE superstar. It would be Nikki Bella, winner of Dancing with the Stars, is going against Ronda Rousey. Like, that would be the story. It wouldn't be wrestler versus MMA. It would be the winner of Dancing with the Stars, who, by the way, is also a wrestler, is going against Ronda Rousey at this WrestleMania pay-per-view. That would be the story. Now, it would be horrendous, and the match would be horrendous, and or the lead-up would be horrendous, but that's the one. If they wanted to take the front cover of every fucking rag sheet and every online... Because they're not going to get it in the broadsheets, because who cares? But... If they wanted those front covers, if they wanted to go on, if they wanted to get the interviews for ESPN and all things like that, then that is a more attractive proposition to him because it's one versus one. I think eight makes you think, fucking, I don't care about these people, because it is all about Ronda Rousey. It's not, because the thing is, this is why I think it's a tough sell either way. Outside of WWE, nobody gives a fuck about the four horsewomen wrestlers. Nobody cares. No media outlet gives a flying fuck that doesn't already cover wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, us as fans, we obviously still hold that attachment to the four horsewomen, but it's kind of like, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
Type scenario. If Nikki wins this fucking dancing competition, that makes the most commercial sense.
You could potentially do a reasonable rivalry, actually, thinking about it while we've been talking. You know, Rousey could, I mean, if she was really good.
In the ring?
No, I mean, like, promo-wise. You know, she could use the whole do-nothing bitch thing against Nikki. And that could be the angle of...
And that'd be huge.
It would be huge.
And she would get fucking cheered out the building.
Yeah, it would be massive.
Yeah.
She'd have to win.
Oh yeah, but I think Ronda Rousey's winning no matter what.
Yeah, I do.
Because they're not gonna have on pay per view three straight losses for Ronda Rousey. Like, it's just not gonna happen. Which again makes me think, do the four horsewomen of WWE need to get involved with this? Because if Ronda Rousey just comes in and beats them, and she's just been knocked out twice, like, it doesn't, from a purely kayfabe point of view, it doesn't look good that you've. This woman's never had a wrestling match. And she just comes in. So the four horsewomen MMA, four horsewomen, apart from Rousey, nobody cares. Nobody cares outside of WWE.
No. Shayna, I'm getting a drink, by the way.
Go for it. What are you getting?
Just some water. That's all we have.
I'll have a mouthful of that.
Okay.
So, Shayna Baszler is obviously making a decent name for herself within WWE now with this Mae Young Classic. I can't see her not winning, even though I don't want her to. I want Kairi Sane to win. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's just going to be Shayna Baszler wins, the four horsewomen are there from WWE, the four horsewomen are there from MMA, and there's going to be some sort of standoff.
Yeah.
And then you'll never hear about it again until WrestleMania season. So, it's a tough one. It really is a tough one. Like, for me personally, and not thinking of it in their ways, me personally is like, there's no way they're not going to do an 8-woman tag match, because it protects everybody. Ronda Rousey only needs to be in there for 2 minutes and just needs to armbar a bitch, and that's it. The other, Shayna Baszler, can be the main one because she knows wrestling a bit more. The other ones can train from now till WrestleMania all they want, but they're not going to be at the level that they'll need to be to pull off that sort of match. Mm-hmm. So that's why an 8-woman tag match makes sense. It's like Maria Menounos once had a WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
And she just did a, you know, just came in, did a headlock takeover, and that was her done. But I just think it's really interesting. But if I was the brass, if I was the top brass, I'd be like, what have these guys done to deserve such a massive opportunity? Like, they don't deserve it. That's what I would be saying.
Mm.
Personally, I'd be saying they don't deserve it. If I was thinking only about the dollars, because like you said, you know, they all look smug, like they know something's coming. And they're not really fucking trying. You know, they might be trying on social media, like having a go at Ronda and at the Mae Young Classic, like getting in each other's faces. Like, that's really good, but that's obviously been set up by WWE.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't think what I'm trying to get at is I don't think anybody deserves Ronda Rousey coming in. And this is Ronda Rousey off the back of two knockouts. So this isn't even Ronda Rousey when she was at the height of her fame. Like, this is a broken Ronda Rousey that is, you know, just got married and probably doesn't give a fuck about fighting anymore.
Nah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'll be interested to see. I think it is going to be the four versus the four, but I think you make a good point. And I wouldn't be surprised if they blow that wad early and it turns into something else for WrestleMania.
Yeah, maybe. maybe like a Royal Rumble thing, or
yeah. Maybe they'll do that. And
imagine if fucking Ronda turned up at the Royal Rumble and came out for that.
Holy shit! As one of the entrants.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck.
The place would lose its fucking mind if Ronda Rousey came out as an entrant in the Royal Rumble.
I just think they should. I don't know why they don't do that more.
Yeah.
Have like an odd random one in there. I know they have old start, but like, get a few women in there. Don't have to hurt them. They can eliminate someone's shit like Ellsworth, like we always say.
Yep. It's always Ellsworth who gets eliminated.
Yeah, it's got to be Ellsworth, hasn't it? But anyway.
It is indeed. Any more on Ronda Rousey?
No.
So I thought a thing that would be quite cool to chat about just as a lead-in to a recap of Raw and SmackDown this week. Because I've watched Raw, some of SmackDown, but we've both watched like the highlights.
Yes.
So obviously, the main thing to come out of Raw, I would say, hence the topic of the title of the show, is Braun Strowman is getting to a point where he is the man.
He's the best. He was the best part of Raw. From that, yeah. I only saw the highlights of Raw. Saw a little bit more of SmackDown, but only like the last match, I think. But the highlights. I mean, it's the Braun Strowman show. It was so dull. Like, the highlights of Raw, I couldn't believe what I was watching. It was just like, in fact, the highlights of both the shows, it was just like, 1, 2, 3, it's just the end of every match.
Yeah.
It's like, these aren't highlights. I mean, I understand that maybe someone winning's great, but did nothing else happen? Were these just like, really stock, boring matches where this is the best thing you've had? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Strowman is, he's the guy. He just is the guy. And I still have a bit of a fear that they're not going to do anything with him, like, belt-wise. I just...
Maybe. Well, does Brock Lesnar want some time off before Royal Rumble season, before WrestleMania season?
Maybe.
Because to me, your WrestleMania main event is Brock Lesnar against Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
I truly believe that that's your WrestleMania main event.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I know they're trying to, you know, it's been rumoured for the last sort of 6 months that it's Brock Lesnar against Roman Reigns again, and this is the time when Roman Reigns takes the belt off him. But nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see that. Like, honestly, the crowd reaction for Braun when he comes out now is huge, considering he's supposed to be like a heel, and he doesn't really talk much. And fair play to the fucking Big Show for putting on another brilliant match with him.
Brings out the best in the Big Show.
Oh, elbow from the top rope.
Yeah.
You could say, like, Braun Strowman versus Big Show is a pay-per-view quality match.
Absolutely.
They've had it twice, and it's been fantastic both times.
In the space of a year as well.
Yeah.
It's crazy, really. It's absolutely mad.
And the fact that Braun can just pick him up, and he can pick him up, is just... See, this is the thing, when we say, like, oh, WWE, like... has a bit of a bias towards the big guys and doesn't necessarily give the smaller guys the same opportunity. This is the reason why is when you've got two huge guys going at it, it's really good. It can be really good, but they do need to bring the house down. They do need the fucking barricade to be gone.
Yeah, they've got to destroy the place for it to be a reasonably good match.
Yeah, but they can do. That's the difference. They can do, and it's the sort of pop that we had at Roman Reigns during the SummerSlam thing. It's like he was the only one that looked like a bit of a pussy. With the Superman punches that you can clearly see don't connect.
Mm.
And it takes Brock off his feet for like 2 seconds. But Braun Strowman's cracking him through 2 tables and then putting another table on top of him.
Yeah.
It's like it just makes Roman Reigns look fucking shit. Which I personally love. but he's doing a good job in making himself look shit at the moment. So, you know, the quick side note on that, this Cena Roman Reigns thing is getting old really quick.
Yeah, I'm over it. Really I'm over bad. It, it's not even happened. Yeah. Is it No Mercy next week, next Sunday?
I don't know, I think so.
I think so too. I think it has to be. I think that's been about 2 weeks.
I'm not 100% certain. I think it could be the go-home show tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So, That would
Let's hope so, because, God, it is dull as shit, this Cena Reigns thing. I'm yawning, just thinking
September,
about it.
September 24th, so we've still got 2 weeks.
Oh, my God. Jesus wept. Yeah, it's really boring. It's really boring. And yeah. It's because they're only going about 60% of the way of the intensity on the program promos that they should be going. If they really want to make... These are two guys that are, like, obviously very popular, but at the same time wildly unpopular.
Yeah.
Who no one really has much expectations of, like, match standard. Even though, like, yeah. Cena always puts on a good match, Reigns always kind of does it. It's not an exciting match. I mean, and then putting them together is, like, the holy grail of, like, meh match.
Yeah. Which is why it's not the main event.
Yeah.
And why the main event is Braun Strowman against Brock fucking Lesnar. Now that, I can't wait for that. And it's such a fickle thing, and I do understand, like, people who listen to the show a lot. You know, I've had my choice words to say about Brock Lesnar and, you know, his old style and things like that. But I think when you get somebody like Braun Strowman, he must take that belt to keep this momentum going, because he is so over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole program of Roman Reigns, he was the star of it. He has been the star of this Brock Lesnar feud. Like, they've done it now for close to a month, and he is the fucking star of it.
Yeah.
Like, Brock is Brock Lesnar. He's always going to be up there in the main event or nearly main event of WrestleMania for as long as he decides to do it. But you can make a fucking superstar out of Braun here.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way to go. As far as Raw goes, there was nothing else that I was really that into. The Jason Jordan Cena match I thought was okay. You know, we know Jason Jordan can go, so that's fair enough, really. Mm. I'm trying to think of anything else, really.
No, there was nothing else.
Nothing else really too
much
worthy.
No, there really wasn't anything else.
So if Braun Strowman is your man on Raw, there's only one man that's on SmackDown at the moment as far as, like, an interesting angle, and that is Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
So the whole promo with Shane McMahon was brilliant. You should have died in the helicopter crash.
Terrific.
Yeah, your kids would prefer it if you died. Now Shane's suspended. And then we get the announcement that Vince is going to be on SmackDown this week to address it. So that makes it really interesting. When Vince and Shane and Daniel Bryan are involved in a storyline with somebody, that is the guy. Now, completely against what I thought was going to happen, Shinsuke beat Randy Orton.
Yeah.
So he's got another title shot. He's got another opportunity at whatever pay-per-view it is that they're doing whenever it happens. Oh, Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell is the next one. But reportedly, the WWE title match is not going to be in Hell in a Cell.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, which makes it more likely that it's Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon in Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably where they're going with this.
Yeah.
And whether Shane is going to jump off that fucking cage again, I don't know. Maybe he will. Maybe
Kevin Owens will do it this time.
If Kevin Owens did it, nobody should do it.
No,
nobody should fucking do it. Just have a match. Don't risk your life. Because one bad landing on that table and you're going to get fucked up, Mick Foley, aren't you? So, I think at the moment, there's more intrigue with SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown is intriguing me more, but Braun is just too much for me.
Mm.
Like, there's too much going on. Like, he could be their next top star. And it's fine being a heel. Like, you know, I don't necessarily mean face, but the crowd are so hot on him and everything he does. And, you know, the whole thing with Big Show, superplexing, elbow drop, through the cage, it's just the most interesting part of it. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Roman Reigns and John Cena coming out and talking to each other. And it's the same thing that we heard the week before. And Roman Reigns goes, oh, who wants to see him beat my ass? And then John kind of takes a step back. And he's like, what? Why?
It's so weird.
Why would you take a step back? It's so strange.
Dull. It's just
like,
dull.
Like, I understand, like, you know, they're going to save that for the go-home show, the big brawl.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah,
I really don't
not
know.
Interested in it.
Not interested. So that's the end of my news.
I think that's the end of the show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've not really got anything else to go over. There was a decent article about why WWE don't really need part-timers anymore. But we've kind of said that many a time.
Mm-hmm.
So I've, any more for any more?
No.
No?
No, I'm hoping next week will be a better wrestling week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've still gone for an hour and 20 minutes.
I'm amazed.
Yeah, I'm amazed as well.
Because I'm fatigued.
Yeah,
just on that.
Yeah, I'm knackered. But yeah, hopefully Ali Pali will be up in the week.
Yes.
And we can watch that. We can do a react show to Progress's big show of the year. Do want to watch. We've got loads to catch up on with ICW in the run-up to Fear and Loathing. And whether or not we can make it, I don't know if we can, to the Liverpool show. I'd love to go, but money's a bit.
We'll see.
Money's
yeah,
a bit tight,
maybe.
So,
maybe we can go.
So we'll see. We shall see. So thank you very much for listening, as always, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure. If you do want to join in, as always, let us know on social media. And until next time,
cheerio, motherfucker.
Pip pip.